Shalom. You're about to hear a message given by Rabbi Loren Jacobs of Congregation Shema Yisrael, located in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, USA. For more information, you can go to our website, shema.com, shema.com.
I did a little series, Seven Things I Liked About God the Father, Seven Things I Liked About Messiah the Son, Seven Things I Liked About the Holy Spirit. Now, Seven Things I Like About Messiah's Community. We live in a fallen world in which human beings are confused and divided. They try to control each other, take advantage of each other, often harm one another, sometimes kill one another. This world of fallen human beings is a dying world. It's a perishing world. But there's a special community in this world, which is not of this world, and is different from this world. It is a community that is especially loved by God. A community which, when it is functioning properly, you can feel safe, where you can hear the truth, where you can grow and serve and develop your gifts and try to reach your full potential. It's a Noah's Ark that is saved from the flood of Satan, sin, and death. It is a community that will, in fact, live forever. Who in their right mind would not want to be a member of that special community? To encourage us to become part of this community, or if we are already part of this community, to appreciate it more and to become even more involved, here are seven things I like about Messiah's special community. The first thing I like about Messiah's community that it is Messiah's body. Messiah's community is not a building. And it's more than a service. I'm starting to really dislike the phrase, going to church. Where do you go to church? Oh, I go to church in such and such a place. No, the church is not a place where you go to. The church is a living organism. It is a divine, saved, eternal community of men and women who are called out of a dying world. Messiah is the head of this community, and we are his body. Like a head, the Son of God is the one who does the thinking. He plans, he orders, he instructs, he directs. He's the head. As his body, we carry out what our head communicates. As his hands, we do what he wants. As his feet, we go where he wants. As his mouth, we speak what he wants. As his heart, we love what he wants. What does he want us to love? Human beings, Jews and Gentiles, men and women, those easy to love, of course, but also those who are hard to love. And there's a lot of those. What does he want us to love? Righteousness, holiness, the truth, the Word of God, declaring the gospel, the good news, the message of salvation that alone can save human beings. As his hands, what does he want us to do? Carry on his mission of saving people by telling them the truth and doing good things for them and teaching those who are interested. He wants us to do something to build up his community from within. That's what he wants us to do. Where does he want us to go? Into all the world. Starting with Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and then going to the uttermost parts of the earth. How does he want us to go? With a divine priority to the Jewish people first. Does he want us to say? The truth, the good news, the gospel, the message about him that alone can save human beings. So the first thing I like about Messiah's community is that it is his body. He's the head. We are the body of this living organism. The second thing I like about Messiah's community is that it is the pillar and the support of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. As Isaiah predicted, darkness does cover the earth, and deep darkness has engulfed the peoples of the world. If the truth sets us free, and it does, then ignorance and error keeps us enslaved to the forces of Satan, sin, and death. People are ignorant, confused, wrong about the most basic truths. The reality of the three-in-one God of Israel. That there are good angels and fallen angels. That the Bible is the divinely inspired word of God. The reality of humanity's participation in the rebellion of the fallen angels. The reality of sin and the sin nature. That we are sinners headed to hell, not heaven, to death, not life. That the Son of God has come making salvation possible. The world is wrong and confused and ignorant of these most basic truths. But from this deep darkness, from this miasma of deadly confusion, light is shining. The good news is that truth can be found in the darkness. Truth that can set us free. Truth that can save us. Truth that can reconcile us to God and enable us to live forever. And that ultimate truth, that greatest truth, can be found not in the laboratories of modern science or the research centers of the great universities or in the philosophies or the non-Christian religions, but in a special community of people who know the word of the living God. If people perish for lack of knowledge, and they do, then truth saves. If we are fallen and headed to hell, not heaven, to death, not life, and we are, then we need the truth, the gospel, the good news, the message of salvation. That message Messiah's community alone has. So the second thing I like about Messiah's community is that it is the pillar, the support of the truth. The third thing I like about Messiah's community is that it is composed of people who are united to the three-in-one God and united to each other. Messiah's community has a tremendous unity. The truth is that humanity is fallen. We're a fallen species, a fallen race. Because of the fall of man, each one of us comes into this world far from God, alienated from our Creator, and we are alienated from one another. Humanity is fractured and broken and alienated from one another. But those who come to know the three-in-one God and transfer their loyalties to the Father, Son, and Spirit get very close to God and close to those other human beings who have ended their rebellion against God. So here's the truth. The Son is in his Father. The Father is in the Son. The Son is in us. We are united to the Son, who is united to the Father. That makes us the temple of the living God. The Spirit of God lives in us. We are so close to God that the relationship is compared to the relationship of husband and wife. We are like a loving bride, and God is like our loving husband with this close, intimate relationship between us and God. Those who truly love Messiah and prove it by obeying him will find that they are loved by the Father and the Son, and the Father and the Son will come to that person and make their home with that person. The Father and the Son will live in that person by means of the Spirit that the Father and Son share. And when you have the Spirit of the Father and the Son living in you in that special way, your alienation from God is over. You are very close to God, and he is very close to you. You are united to him. Those who are part of Messiah's community have a tremendous unity with God and with one another, a kind of unity that the world cannot have. Christians and Messianic Jews are part of one very special body that unites us, one community of human beings who are working together, made up of Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor. There is one Spirit who unites us. He lives in each one of us, bringing us closer to God and closer to one another. There is one hope that we share, and that all of us will live together in the amazing New Jerusalem as the glorified sons and daughters of God ruling the new universe in the ages to come. And that hope unites us. There is one Lord who unites us, one great leader who is worthy to be followed. There is one faith that unites us, one core set of truths that we all believe, and that unites us. There is one baptism that unites us, one initiation rite that we all experience, where we declare to the world that we are washed and clean because we know that Yeshua is the resurrected Lord and Savior, and we have transferred our loyalties to him and his Father. And there is one God and Father of all, who is over all of us and through all of us and in all of us. And the great fatherhood of God unites us. Because of these things, Christians and Messianic Jews share a profound unity, a close communion, a fellowship with one another that the world cannot experience. So the third thing I like about Messiah's community is that it is composed of people who are united to the three-in-one God and united to each other. The fourth thing I like about Messiah's community is that even though it has this tremendous unity, it is diverse. There is diversity in unity. Unity in diversity. Even though this community started with Jewish roots in Jewish soil, even though its founder, the King of Israel, is Jewish and specifically came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, even though his handpicked representatives, the apostles, were Jewish, even though all the first followers of Yeshua were Jewish, even though its books were written by Jews, even though salvation is of the Jews, even though the good news has a divine ongoing priority to the Jewish people first, even though heaven itself is a very Jewish place, the New Jerusalem, God designed this community to be able to go beyond its Jewish foundations, so that people from all nations and language groups can be part of this community. The giving of the Spirit to the wonderful Roman centurion Cornelius and his friends and family, along with the decision of the First Jerusalem Council, made it clear that Gentiles are welcome into this special fellowship as they are. As Gentiles, they do not need to become Jewish or live like Jews or live according to all the laws of the Sinai covenant that were specifically given to the holy nation of Israel. This gave them the freedom and the ability to be whom God made them to be. That enabled them to stay within their peoples and cultures and function within their cultures and bring the message of the Jewish Messiah to their peoples and their cultures. Messiah's community has a tremendous unity, but diversity. It is designed by God to be ethnically and racially diverse by God's design. It is made up specifically of Jews, but also peoples from every nation. If I meet a man, no matter what race or nation he may be from, and I find out that he really knows my God and loves my Bible, I feel an instant connection with him, an instant sense of brotherhood. This also means that there is absolutely no place for any kind of racism within Messiah's community. And if I find out that some of you have some of these thoughts and feelings, we're going to have a problem. Messiah's community is unified, but it is diverse. It is economically diverse. It has rich and it has poor. Messiah's community is diverse when it comes to gender. It is made up of men, and the men remain men, and it is made up of women, and the women remain women, and both are wonderful, and both are unique, and both are distinct, and both have their roles to play. Messiah's community is diverse because it is made up of people with differing abilities, those who have different gifts and talents and interests. Messiah's community is diverse in time. It spans all the people of the past 2,000 years who have called on the name of the Lord. You might feel that you have virtually nothing in common with a man who spoke a different language and lived a primitive life, maybe on another continent, 1,500 years ago. But if he knew the Messiah, he is your brother. He's your fellow heir. He's going to live with you forever and ever in the New Jerusalem. Messiah's community is diverse in time. I love the fact that Messiah's community is made up of human beings made in the image of God. We have this tremendous unity, but also this great diversity, so that we can express the unique ways that God has made each one of us. The fifth thing I like about Messiah's community is that it has authority. God the Father sits on the central throne of heaven. Heaven's a real place, and God sits on a real throne. There at his right hand sits his Son, King Messiah, who shares all authority in heaven and on earth with God the Father, ruling the universe and beyond. All the forces and powers in heaven and on earth are under the Son of God's control. Messiah delegates some of his authority to his community, who, when they are close to him and understanding the truth, can exercise some of his authority. They can exercise some of his authority over evil spirits, which are real. fallen angels. Messiah promised, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Wow. Satan is the god of this world. There are fallen angels who rule over the fallen nations with him. They are real. They are powerful. They are dangerous. They are deadly. They control the world. They deceive the world. They corrupt the world. They keep human beings in a deadly ignorance. But greater is the one who is in us, the Spirit of the Almighty God, than those evil spirits who rule this world. And by putting on the whole armor of God, the sons and daughters of God are safe. And by resisting these evil spirits, they will flee. And under the right circumstances, we can cast these evil spirits out of those human beings they possess. Messiah's community has authority. Messiah delegates some of his great authority to the leaders of his community to teach, to direct and lead, to raise up new leaders, to correct or expel those who are out of order. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. To have this kind of authority, the community needs to have the truth. It needs to be organized, not disorganized. It needs to have God-ordained leaders, which it does. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. For the community to function the way it should, you need to be in relationship with these leaders. You need to get to know them and have them get to know you. You need to go through the initiation rite of baptism. You need to be involved in the community, not forsaking the community when it assembles on a regular basis. You need to sustain your spiritual life by participating in the Lord's Supper and by serving in the community. So the fifth thing I like about Messiah's community is that it has authority, great authority. The sixth thing I like about Messiah's community is that it will be amazingly victorious. Yay. Messiah's community is not perfect. We are a work in progress. So often we miss the mark. We make mistakes. We err. We yield to temptation. We sin. We are imperfect, yet wonderfully and graciously forgiven. But when God is through with us, we will be spotless, blameless, beautiful, holy, perfect. Even though Messiah's community has not always been faithful, pure, holy, zealous as we should be, Messiah's community will ultimately be triumphant. Rabbi Paul wrote, God always leads us in triumph. The Son of God promised, on this rock I will build my community of called out ones. the ecclesia. That's really what it means, the community of called out ones. And the gates of Sheol, the center of command of the enemy, the gates of Sheol will not overcome it. In spite of temptation and failures, in spite of the opposition of fallen angels and wicked men and false teachers and tares from within, through trouble, hardship, persecution, poverty, famine, nakedness, and danger, through death, through life, through the present, through the future, we will overwhelmingly conquer because of Messiah who loved us. The community of the Son of God will be amazingly triumphant, eternally victorious. The seventh and final thing I like about Messiah's community is that it has a glorious future. The world is perishing. The world is going to die. The world is going to pass away, this world. But not Messiah's community. If we died with him, we will live with him. If we endure our sufferings here on earth, we will reign with him in the new heavens and the new earth. All of our sadness, suffering, tears will be wiped away and replaced by eternal happiness. To this victorious and perfected community, Messiah will give some of the hidden manna. We will be dressed in white, and a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it, will be given to each one of us. Messiah will write on us his name and the name of his God and the name of God's city, the New Jerusalem. Messiah will give us the morning star and the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. We will not be hurt by the second death. Our names will never be blotted out from the book of life. Messiah will acknowledge us before his Father and his good angels. Messiah will make us a pillar in God's temple. Messiah will give us the right to sit with him on his throne. Messiah will give us authority to rule over the angels and over the nations for the ages to come. Contrast that with a fallen world that is perishing and will pass away. We live in a fallen world in which human beings are confused and divided, trying to control one another, take advantage of one another, harm one another, sometimes kill one another. But there is a special community which is very different. It's the most important community, the most important organization, the most important institution on earth. Messiah's community is his body. Messiah's community is the pillar and support of the truth. Messiah's community is composed of people who are united to the three-in-one God and to each other. Messiah's community, even though it has this tremendous unity, has an amazing diversity. Messiah's community has authority. Messiah's community will be amazingly victorious, and Messiah's community has a glorious future. Why would anyone in their right mind not want to be part of Messiah's community? I hope these truths encourage you to become part of Messiah's community if you are not already. And if you are part of it, that it inspires you to get more involved and help others become members of Messiah's community. Amen.
Thank you for listening to a message by Rabbi Lauren Jacobs of Congregation Shema Yisrael, located in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, USA. For more information, you can go to our website, shema.com, S-H-E-M-A.com.